Man si modern civic state.
That was Ala Abdel Fattah, your nephew. I also want to play a clip of your niece, Mona Saif. She was very active in Tahrir, interviewed very often on international news networks. We interviewed her on Democracy Now! Several times, both in person and on the phone. And we reached her in the early morning hours of February 3rd, the night that Mubarak's thugs attacked. This is some of what she had to say.
We came here peacefully demanding for Mubarak to leave. We were so numerous yesterday. This is not our demand alone. This is the demand of the majority of Egyptians all over the country. We were here peacefully. Yesterday was such a festive day. If you saw the place, you would think it was a park. We had children playing and people chanting and dancing and singing. And now all of a sudden it's this war zone just because they leashed at us those thugs with their weapons and their knives and their cocktail Molotov thrown at us from rooftops. We are here because we've lost a lot of people for a certain demand and a certain cause, and we owe it to them to stick it and stay here.
That was Mona Saif, Hadassah, your niece. So what does it feel like to hear her talk so emotionally about that night?
Well, you know, it continues to move me. I mean, basically, the young people have been just incredibly, incredibly wonderful. And I mean, all the young people of my family were there and were there on that night. And I mean, Mona's younger sister, who's 17, was also in there. And
can we play one little clip?
I actually spoke to Sanaa as well. She had published a newspaper after Mubarak's fall to intentionally break Egyptian law. This is some. I asked her about the role of the youth. This is some of what she had to say.
It all started with an event, and we kind of told our friends and everything, and somehow it got bigger and bigger, and we realized that we have a very effective tool that we didn't realize that until it all flamed, kind of. So that's when we thought, well, we can actually do something. We have tools and we can do it. And, we've done it while the grown-ups didn't, so we can actually do that. So that's when we got involved and started thinking of other things to do.
And did you ever imagine that this would happen?
No, not at all. I mean, it was a joke. I mean, people ask me, what are you going to do on the 25th? I was like, yeah, I have a revolution. I'm not. I'm busier. But it was amazing. It was a perfect timing, actually.
So that was Sanaa Saif, your niece, also. And she succeeded in publishing this newspaper called The Gurnal. It's available online and in print as well.
I have to ask, before we end, Hadef, speaking of families, and we only have a minute, Sharif's grandfather, Hassan Abdelkaddous, the great writer, if you were influenced by him, and also his great-grandmother, Rose El Youssef, speaking of two great families in Egypt.
Of course, absolutely. I mean, who wasn't influenced? Who didn't read all of Hassan Abdelkaddous's books and watch the films that were made from them and read, you know, the history of Rose El Youssef and the magazine that she produced and so on? It's a big heritage, you know, and it tends to be that way.
And for those who don't know Hassan Abdelkaddous, how you characterize his writing?
Well, it was, you can think of it as big, romantic, easy-to-read novels. And then if you go a little bit below that, you will find that they are very liberationist, that they are feminist, in fact, and revolutionary. Yeah.
Well, speaking of revolutionary, I want to thank you very much, Hadassah Suwayf, for being with us. We'll all be at your speech tonight at Columbia University, the Edward Said Memorial Lecture. Thank you for being there in Tahrir and being with us on International Women's Day. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Abdelkaddous, Aaron Mate, Renee Feltz, Nermeen Sheikh, Dina Guzdar, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Hani Masood, Rabbi Karen, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Naguera, our engineers. Our condolences to Julie Crosby on the death of her father. I'm Amy Goodman with Sharif Abdelkaddous.
And it's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Time once again for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Kyle over there?
Hi, hello.
How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm pretty good. We haven't spoken in 2 weeks. Well, we were on tape last week. And I think we should have talked to each other, though, in that 2 weeks. It's a lot of just passing each other in the hallway. And
I know. I kind of miss the interaction.
Well, I think it's important to point out we can converse outside the radio. Maybe I did make that clear.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, we can exchange pleasantries and that kind of thing.
I'm glad you said that.
On the radio. Maybe I should have said that earlier.
Yeah.
But it's good to be back live. It's good to converse again and to see how have you been.
I'm fine. I must have misinterpreted the circumstance. I've been wondering, basically, for the past bit of time we haven't been talking, you could at least tell me the case, what kind of case it is.
Or like a suitcase or box of some sort.
Yeah, I wanted to know what kind of. I mean, you don't have to tell me details. You don't have to tell me who.
Well, I was looking at
or
a
what
nice
you guys are
leather
are
bag at the mall the other day. If that's what, I don't know how you would know.
No,
about
no,
that,
I meant like what you're adjudicating.
Going on a trip.
Yeah,
adjudicating.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a serious term to be used for buying luggage.
Adjudicating. Wait, why are we talking about luggage?
You're the one who talked about a case. Oh. It's about the case I'm considering buying.
Well, no, I was talking.
Actually, I was considering leasing it, to be honest, because they are kind of pricey.
Well, no,
but
no, I thought
the thing
that
is, if you damage it, or if you lose it, falls overboard, or something like that, then you can get it replaced.
No, I thought we weren't speaking because you were summoned, and you can't talk about anything. So we weren't talking for the past.
Summoned? No, I went down to the luggage store on my own. They didn't call me or anything like that. Why would they call me? I have a feeling we're at cross purposes here. We're not communicating quite right. Maybe we should have
eased back into this.
We should have talked before the show about what's what.
Well, I'm doing okay.
I'm not sure I'm going to buy it yet. I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm going to go to a couple more stores.
Yeah.
To see what kind of
leather?
Leather or maybe some kind of
black or brown.
What's that imitation leather? Because I don't want blood thrown on me, you know, by all the protesters outside the luggage stores.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why you're so interested in my suitcase.
Well, I don't know why you're being so cagey. I mean, I know I understand that you can't talk about it.
I've told you more about this than anybody I've ever told in my life. It's an unusual thing to talk about on the radio, especially.
No, fess up. Come on. You know what I'm talking about.
No.
The summons?
It's
been
2 weeks.
The trial? I want to know about the case.
You mean
case.
A court case? Is that what you're talking about? Oh,
well,
my goodness.
What other case?
Why would you make me talk about things that I really shouldn't be talking about? Namely, what I'm buying.
Well, I couldn't think of any other way to put it. I just, you know, the case. You're
my
juror.
Jury summons is what you're getting at. Jury summons.
That's a big deal. That's what we're all wondering.
Okay, yeah, all right. There's some things I got to clear up then. We weren't on last week because as of last Monday, I had been summoned to serve on a grand jury. Well, maybe just to be asked if I want to serve on a grand jury or to see if I qualify. I don't know exactly how it works, but I was supposed to show up last Monday, and the thought was that as of Tuesday, I'd probably be busy, wouldn't be able to do the radio show, so we put that on tape. We had the pillow fighting episode, which was pretty good, by the way.
Oh, it was very good.
Yeah.
I really liked the pillow fighting.
The pillow fighting in Quebec City in a bar, it's a long story, but if you want to hear that show, let's listen to last week's episode, which I believe was March the 1st, 2011. But here's the thing, Kyle.
You could just say what kind of crime it was.
Well, I point this out. No, I'm not supposed to talk about anything on the grand jury, but I can make a full revelation as to everything that I've been doing. I'm making a special exception for you because I would never do that.
Well, there's a lot of people that are concerned about your situation and your time is being stretched.
Telling the entire world exactly what happened moment by moment. Are you ready?
As long as it's legal, but don't put yourself jeopardy.
It's legal. It's totally legal.
We want to know something about the case, about what you're working on. Just tell us,
I am
please.
Working on absolutely nothing. There is no case because I didn't go in. I didn't show up on Monday, okay? I basically You have to show up at 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? And the way, listen, the way I was trying to do that was by staying up all night Saturday and being all tired Sunday evening and then falling asleep and waking up at a nice early hour and going in. For some reason, and I don't know if it was because the Oscars were on that night or I was just anxious or something like that, I could not fall asleep on Sunday night either. And I just realized, you know what, 9 o'clock is going to roll around. Either I will have gotten no sleep or I will have only gotten a couple hours and I'll be a zombie. And it's just it's not worth it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to drive all the way to Riverhead where it might be dangerous. Not Riverhead, but the drive might be dangerous if you have no sleep. So I figured, you know, let me just postpone this to a time a little less crazy because I had a lot of things going on, working on a new issue of the magazine and all kinds of other things happening. So I just didn't go in, all right? I just didn't go in. I called a little computer later that day and asked to be postponed until May, and it said, well, okay, I'll do that, but if it's not available, I'm going to schedule you for the next best time, and you have to show up then. Which, you know, to me, it just seems like, you know, I'm all for jury duty, I'm all for showing up and serving, but to be told that you have to show up at this particular time, I don't care if you have you know, an extended hard bypass operation scheduled. I don't care if you've got around the world voyage scheduled or if you're going out into space or something like that. You will be there on this day, and I'm not even going to tell you what day it is until a couple of weeks beforehand. Just seems like a bit much to expect people to just. I mean, you know, if I was in prison or if I was in the military, okay, great. I would expect to be told what to do, but you know what? I'm not. I'm a free person, supposedly in the United States. I can walk around, do what I want. I just shouldn't be spoken to that way by a computer.
Wow. Oh my.
So now gosh. you know
wow.
Everything.
So all this time that
that's why you were maintaining silence because you thought I was in some court case.
Well, I didn't know. You were just quiet, and I
was thoughtful.
I know you
quiet.
Were planning just, on getting up and going, but
I'm thinking of a lot of things.
I accept that. I respect that, and you know,
I think you accept it. I'm not sure you respect it.
Well, look, I said I respect it.
Yeah, you said that. You say a lot of things.
So but
that's the deal, okay? I'm not in court.
So you don't have to be there. Okay.
Not right away, but who knows?
That's good.
Grand juries are not like regular juries. Grand juries, you have to, assuming you get selected,
right?
You have to be there all day long for up to a month. That's what we're talking about here. 5 days a week for up to a month or more. It's basically on the little sheets. They leave it open to anything, you know, the other thing really gets me is they try to get you to pay for it too. They say they're going to pay you $40 a day. Then they say, well, but your employer maybe should be paying this and not us. And and I'm my employer. I'm self-employed. So it's I'm not going to pay myself for something that I'm supposed to be compensated for by the state or the county or the feds or whatever.
Yeah. And they spring it on you. They spring it on you, you know, you just get something and all of a sudden you have to start jumping through all these mental hoops to see if you can shuffle your schedule around.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's good that you had a way out of that.
I honestly don't think I'd be selected, though, because there's too much baggage going, and no pun intended for the luggage I'm getting, but there's a lot going on that would make somebody not want to have me in a court.
When they prompted you to tell them why you didn't go, was it difficult to explain to the computer that you were going to be in outer space?
No, the computer didn't ask that. Computer said, the funny thing is, I called them. As I said, I called them on Monday after getting a full day's sleep, and I was very happy. I woke up at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
Totally screwed up my schedule in ways I did not imagine possible. I was trying to get onto a good schedule, and it's really not easy. I'll have to figure out another way to do this when the next time comes around. They say on the little forum, you have to ask for a postponement before your date of service. And I was actually asking on the day of service at 5 o'clock p.m. And it worked.
Yeah.
Somehow it worked. So I don't know.
I think it helped that you told them that you were going to be in outer space.
Well, the computer, it wasn't voice activated. It was simply touchtone, and I was hitting buttons.
Well, the computer knows. It's telepathy.
I don't think the people really care about my postponed jury service, which has absolutely no interest to anybody. Even the jury, don't think is going to care very much. But yeah, that's what happened.
Well, there's a lot going on in outer space, you know.
You want to talk about what we saw last night?
I do.
Okay, last night we were able to communicate with each other that there was a possibility of seeing the space station. Now, here's how it works. We've done this before. We've done it several times. You can see satellites from the ground. It's not hard to do. Sometimes you just look up at the sky, you look at the stars and things up there, and you will see something moving across the sky. It might be an airplane, but sometimes you see something moving. It's kind of like a solid light, and it doesn't really move in a straight line. It kind of moves a little bit to the right, then it goes up all of a sudden, then it moves a little bit more to the right. Just a kind of a strange. How would you describe the movement? It's weird.
It's like wobble or
yeah.
It's oscillating, kind of. It doesn't track the same way, and it doesn't blink with strobes.
No.
Of
it's
different
a solid
colors.
Light.
Yeah, it's a solid white or yellowish light. And it moves very, very quickly, but it's not like a shooting star or sort of what you might say natural space phenomena. It's a little slower than that, still very quick, and often doesn't have a trail or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
that you might expect from something quote natural.
Right.
But it sort of wobbles and moves in an arc or a sort of peculiar trajectory, different from other things that you notice if you look up very often.
Now, there are various websites that allow you to see what satellites will be visible in the area. And I like to do this, especially when there's a mission to the space station and the shuttle, as many people know, not enough people, but many people know that the shuttle has been up at the space station for the last, 10 days or so. So we wanted to see if it was possible to see it. We actually did see it a couple of days earlier, just kind of going across the sky, and it was cool to see that little dot, a bright light.
And that's while it was still docked.
When it was still docked, yes. Now, yesterday it was going to be much, much brighter, and they measure these things with something known as magnitude, and it's kind of a strange a scale. Basically, the brightest stars are, I think, magnitude. Around magnitude 1 or something. Stars between 1.5 and 2.5, they're called second magnitude. So things below 1.5 are called first magnitude. But there are magnitudes of negative numbers, and those are even brighter. Like Sirius, for instance. Sirius is the brightest star in the sky, and the magnitude of Sirius is about minus 1.5. So this particular – I don't know what the sun is. Anybody know what the magnitude of the sun is? It's really bright. But you don't want to look at that. It's like minus 100 or something like that. But minus 1.5, that's the brightest star in the sky. Not planet. Venus is probably brighter than that.
Okay.
So Venus is probably minus 5 or something.
Okay.
But yesterday, the space station was said to be at magnitude minus 3.5. That's really bright. That's really bright. So we planned, it was about 6:55, I think. We planned to see this thing going across the sky. And it was going to go high up in the sky, too. A bright star moving across the sky, really cool thing to see. It was a clear sky as well.
Yes.
So the time arrived, and we stood at the appointed place waiting, and these things are always on time. They're never late.
Right.
But we saw something that was rather surprising because we forgot to factor in a certain key thing that had happened earlier in that day.
Well, I thought it was two, or I thought it was one at first. It was going, like, low across the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw another one.
Another
one. It was further over, come up. And then as that one came up, there was something behind it.
Right.
So the first one that I had seen was a false alarm. That was not what we were looking for. But what was even weirder was the thing that turns out was what we were looking for was followed by something.
Right. Well,
which was very bizarre, but I had a hunch.
Let's talk about what happened earlier in that day. The thing that had happened that affected all this.
Yeah.
What was that?
The space shuttle Discovery had undocked from the International Space Station for the very last time, and so it was traveling about 100 miles ahead of the space station. So we were anticipating on seeing the space station. We ended up seeing both the space station and the space shuttle Discovery.
Yeah, so two bright lights going
very
across
bright.
The sky separated I don't know, by maybe about 20, 25 seconds apart,
right,
as far as the path of the sky they crossed. It was the most incredible sight ever. And it was completely unexpected. I did not realize. I always wondered, can you see the space shuttle and the space station when they're both in the sky but not linked together? This was the first time I had ever seen that. And they were both so bright, and it was such a phenomenal sight. It should have been front page news everywhere. People should be lined up on the streets watching this. That was how incredible it was. But I have some good news.
What's that?
Tonight it is going to be possible to do this again. It won't be quite as bright.
Awesome.
It's going to be a magnitude. I have this chart right here. It's a great site known as heavensabove.com. That's heavensabove.com. What you do is you key in your country, you key in your city, and then you ask to see satellites brighter than a certain magnitude. And I see right here that we have ISS, which is the International Space Station, mm-hmm. at a magnitude of -2.4, that will be rising tonight in the west-northwest sky. And that's this area. This only applies to the Long Island area. I don't know what it is in other parts of the world, but you can certainly look it up and find out. It's rising at 7:23 p.m., 23 minutes after we get off the air. It'll be rising, going up to, I believe, 37 degrees up into the air, and eventually setting in the south-southwest sky, or just disappearing. Sometimes these things just disappear in the middle of the sky, which is kind of interesting. The magnitude will be -2.4. Now, that will be preceded 30 seconds in front of that. The space shuttle will be visible as well.
Cool.
The magnitude won't be nearly as bright. It'll be -0.1. It's still easily bright enough to be seen by the naked eye.
But, oh, so they listed it separate now.
Yeah. Well, this site, for some reason, wasn't aware that the space station had undocked yesterday, so it didn't list the space shuttle.
But now it's listing the shuttle.
Now it's known as STS-133.
Awesome.
Yeah, and that'll be rising. It'll be going the exact same trajectory. I believe they're actually 160 miles apart now.
160 miles, yes.
Yeah. So the space shuttle is trying to get away from the space station and,
correct,
and gaining speed. And it's landing tomorrow. Tomorrow morning it's landing, so that's pretty cool. There's a whole list. There's a whole list of other satellites as well. Those are the brightest ones. Those are the only ones in negative numbers. Everything else is something like 3.3, 3.1, 2.5.
Well, they're much higher up, right?
This one is actually, it's up right now, 6:25 p.m. It's known as Unknown Object B. With a magnitude of 2.8. Anybody driving around Long Island right now, look up in the southern sky. Actually, it's up pretty high. It'll be going up to 89 degrees up there, peaking at about in about 1 minute. Unknown object B, magnitude 2.8. Zero in on that with your binoculars. Maybe you can help us figure out what it is. That will be followed in another 6 minutes by Cosmos 2098 rocket, magnitude 2.4 in the southeastern sky. There's all kinds of things in the sky. You just have to look. But the most amazing was what we saw last night, two really bright objects going across the sky. I'd like to know if anybody else saw that, or if you knew that was going to happen. It's not going to happen very much. Discovery is coming down for the last time. There are two more shuttles that are going to go up, so there'll be more opportunities to do this. But you got to luck out. You got to have a nice, clear sky. You got to be in the right place at the right time. And you'll see some amazing things up in the sky. You really will.
Yeah, it's really inspiring. And just to have watched some of the mission and then to be able to walk out your door and look at it as it moves across the sky. I mean, we're used to seeing airplanes and stuff like that all the time. But to see something like that, knowing what it means and what it is, I mean, to me, is just it's really heartwarming. I get pretty excited about that stuff, and you get to watch it as long as you can with your naked eye, and then it sort of disappears and goes dark, and you can still sort of see where it's going, and then it's just gone. You don't know where it is.
It moves in that weird way, and I believe all the light is sunlight reflected. I think it dims really quickly when the Earth gets in its way. I think that's what's happening. I'm not entirely sure.
All right,
I've been corrected. The magnitude of the sun is actually -26.74.
Okay.
And the magnitude of a full moon is -12.74. So that gives you an idea of where these things lie. So the one tonight will be -2.5. And again, the time to see this in the northeast. And again, go to heavensabove.com to find out where it's visible in your area. The time is 7:23 p.m. And it will be visible until 7:26 p.m.
It's very cool. Well, we'll be.
I intend
there,
to be standing on the athletic fields here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, hoping there's not a game with those brilliant bright lights that you can actually.
Even if there is a game,
you can see those lights from the shuttle. I'm told you can see those lights, and it's a travesty. It really is. Speaking of travesties,
yeah. What else is going on?
Brings us to our favorite representative, Dunderhead from Nassau County. I'm going to say Nassau County from now on, not Long Island, because, you know, he doesn't represent Suffolk County. He only represents Nassau. I'm talking about Peter King, the Neanderthal who represents them in Congress, holding hearings on radical Islam starting on Thursday. Never before, that I'm aware of, has there been a congressional hearing on a religion. You know, on a minority religion, or on the threat that certain aspects of that minority religion may pose to our nation.
I can't believe this. You told this to me the other day. We were having a little bit of discussion. I didn't understand what this was about. What I was like, really? And it's a big deal. Oh, it's a national thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before who? And it just strikes me. What are we going to do? Uh-huh. What is going to be accomplished? And are we going to denounce Islam and all of the people that believe in it? Are we going to have a panel on radical Christians?
Yeah, you know, people who bomb abortion clinics or survivalists who believe in shooting anybody who steps on their land. People who walk around intimidating others with their armaments.
Right. Can't we lump them into a radical something or other and have a little hearing?
The violence inherent in some parts of the radical right in this country.
So
how about hearings about that? That'll never happen. But and Peter King refuses to even consider. I mean, we're talking about things like Timothy McVeigh, who blew up a building in Oklahoma City, killing lots and lots of people. That doesn't warrant the kind of study, that kind of mentality, those kinds of people that do things like that, that also exist.
And they slip through, and it happens.
Mm-hmm, all the time. Instead, to castigate an entire religion. And you look at what's going on in the world. You look at all the people rising up against oppressive regimes. These are the people that you're pointing the finger at saying, wow, we suspect you because you're a member of the Islamic faith and you're prone to do horrible things against us. When you look at all the people that are out there fighting for freedom, it's actually more of an inspiration to us than anything else because I don't think we've got the guts to do that kind of thing. You know, as long as we get our SUVs and our big gulps and things like that, we're not going to complain about anything. We don't care about democracy the way they care about democracy. That's how I see it. That's how I see things going. And
I've been inspired. I mean,
yeah,
it's cool to see. It's refreshing. It's reminds you where we came from or where we're supposed to have come from as far as beliefs and our motives as a nation. I don't know.
And you can point to any group of people, any ethnic group, any religion, and you can find the radical element in it that is inspired by hate. You can do that. It's not hard. But when you focus on it this intently and draw all this publicity to it, you really wind up strengthening it more than anything else, and you wind up alienating those people who should be your friends, the people that you can work with, the people who believe in the same things that ultimately we all believe in. So it's really it's going to be a sad day on Thursday, and it's reminiscent of the McCarthy hearings. It really is. When people were accused of being communist, well, being accused of being an Islamic sympathizer.
Yes, sympathizer, right?
I mean, I've seen cases where people – there was the South Park case, for instance, where this guy was accused of posting the addresses of the two South Park creators.
Right. This was recently. Yeah.
This was recent and advising people to visit them. And
pay them a visit.
Not necessarily say kill them or anything like that, not threatening them himself.
Right.
But just saying that, posting that information, sentenced to 25 years in prison for that. I've seen people in the hacker world do much worse to each other as far as posting addresses and saying horrible things. It's stupid. It's not the nicest thing in the world to do. But once you tack on Islamic into the equation, all of a sudden there are bets are off as far as what the penalty will be.
So it's like they're going to set the precedent here, and instead of it going at going after a individual who maybe makes an allegation and giving them obscene amounts of years for you know, something slightly benign, to say the least, we're now going to have something a little more formal, a little broader, right before our federal government to take on this entire faith that we're so frightened of.
Now, of course, he'll
seems
say
like
that
precedent.
He's not attacking the faith, and that there are plenty of good ones out there as well.
He
he'll say that, but the fact is that once you do this, try it on your own faith, try it on your own ethnic group or your own race, and you'll feel that kind of nervousness as everybody starts looking at you with suspicion, wondering if you're one of the bad ones. So it's. You know, Peter King has never been investigated for his ties to the IRA, and there are ties to the Irish Republican Army. I mean, that's a fact, but he's never been investigated for that. How would he feel? How would he feel? I'm not judging one way or the other. Certainly there's a lot of legitimacy in that organization, especially the political wing, and it's important to bring people to the table. And a lot of good
that.
Has come out of this. Yeah, but
he didn't know he
was affiliated with the IRA. He was
a
sympathizer.
Idea.
Yeah, well, he was.
That's kind of interesting.
Interesting, but that doesn't
Seems
apply.
Radical.
Yeah, well, and the reason it doesn't apply is because, well, they didn't blow up Americans. They just blew up each other. they just set off bombs and killed innocent people in their own country. And that's apparently the rule that keeps you out of congressional hearings. This is what the ACLU is saying, actually with a bunch of other groups as well, 40 groups sending a letter to Representative Peter King. The committee, like law enforcement, must distinguish between First Amendment-protected ideological beliefs, whether radical or not, and criminal terrorist activity or plots. Only the latter may properly be the subject of official inquiry. Congress simply has no business examining Americans' religious or political beliefs in official hearings, even if these beliefs are considered radical by some. The letter also raises the specter of McCarthyism, as we discussed, treating an entire community as suspect because of the bad acts or intolerant statements of a few is imprudent and unfair, and in the past has only led to greater misunderstanding, injustice, and discrimination. It just goes on with all kinds of thoughts about what radicalization is simply about. They say it's simply a euphemism for religious and ideological profiling. And that, of course, leads to further discrimination. You know, and the other thing is that you see this all the time in the battlefield. For instance, it's okay for the United States to go over to all these foreign countries. We're even talking about going to Libya now, which is insane, I think. We'll get into that some other time.
As long as it's not unilateral.
Yeah, as long as we're joined with a whole bunch of other countries. The fact is that we go over to these countries and we bomb them to smithereens. We destroy their infrastructure. We just killed nine kids last week in Afghanistan, or NATO did. And, well, that's just collateral damage. That's just what happens. But God forbid that somebody over there fires back at one of our holy troops. Well, then they're brought to Guantanamo Bay and treated as an enemy combatant, as if they don't have the right to fight back on their side. If it's a war, you know, there are two sides. And if we're going to fire at them, they have every right to fire back at us. That sounds like I'm saying that I'm advocating that people fire on our own troops. No, that's what war is. If you're going to get involved in the war, you have to understand that people are going to be on two different sides.
There's a bit of a double standard, I think, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like the way cops are, okay? Cops can do whatever they want to you. But if you even touch one with your finger, you've assaulted a police officer.
Yeah,
you've done something horrible because he's holy. You can't treat him like a human being. You have to treat him like some kind of a god. And if you disrespect that at all, then you're going to have the book thrown at you.
Yeah, it's the use and abuse of power, right?
Absolutely. And there's this latest rule in New York. I don't know if you've seen the signs on the highway, but it says new law: pull over for stopped emergency vehicle on the side of the road. What that means is if you see a cop pulling somebody over and you're on a highway, you have to pull over into the left lane, not passing him on the lane right next to him. And, you know, it seems nice. You're trying to keep everybody safe, not pass too close at highway speeds. Okay, but my question is, why isn't that a law for everybody who's pulled over? Why just cops? Why do cops get the special treatment that we have to pull over and avoid hitting them? But if I'm fixing a flat tire, it's perfectly okay for a Mack truck to go speeding by at 55 miles an hour, and I don't get any law protecting me. Why is that? Kyle, I'm asking you, why is that?
I have no explanation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't provide anything for you.
Let the record show that he has no explanation for this. It's preferential treatment, and you see it on the battlefield. You see it in main streets of our country, the way we treat one religion over another. Every time a mosque is either built or expanded or altered in any way, there are people protesting, and nothing happens against churches and synagogues. A particular religion is seen as evil and bad, and it really alienates people, makes them feel like victims. And it's sad to see that happening. It's sad to see people going down that road yet again. And I urge everybody to turn on C-SPAN on Thursday and watch the hearings yourself. See what Peter King is up to. Don't let him get away with this kind of labeling that the ignorant always wind up doing in situations like this. You hear Hillary Clinton's remarks this past week. A couple of weeks ago, she said some things about hackers. And we're not going to let that go. She basically equated hackers to thugs and censors and things like that. I don't know what she was smoking that week. Last week, though, she improved her brand somewhat and smoked something a lot better, because she said something that actually made a lot of sense and took some guts to say. She said that Al Jazeera, the network that we've been railing about for years, railing in a positive way, saying we have the right to see this network that comes from the Middle East, that covers the world, that's on the level of BBC or CNN International, different perspective, many good interviews and breaking news coverage, especially now with all the revolutions and uprisings taking place around the region, unprecedented coverage that we in this country really are not allowed to see. And while we're allowed to see it, the corporate powers dictate that we cannot. Cablevision does not carry it. Time Warner does not carry it. DirecTV does not carry it. Dish Network does not carry it. None of these networks, none of these providers carry this major network that the rest of the world can see. And that is not so far away from censorship. That's basically keeping something out of your hands. Basically, Hillary Clinton said, like it or hate it, Al Jazeera is really effective. In fact, viewership of Al Jazeera is up in the United States because it is real news. You may not agree with it, but you feel like you're getting real news around the clock instead of a million commercials and, you know, arguments between talking heads and the kind of stuff that we do on our news that is not providing information to us, let alone foreigners. And she is being attacked for saying these anti-American things, anti-Fox News, anti-CNN domestic. But basically, I think she's right. I think she's 100% right that this kind of thing deserves to be seen by people. We need to be able to, A, improve our own coverage, and B, allow for more choice so that people get a better view of the world, or a view of the world, as opposed to just their own narrow little perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. She not only complimented Al Jazeera on what they've done and how renowned and respected they are for providing actual news instead of the kinds of things you see on American channels, but sort of cast some shame, which is due, I think, on our media conglomerates and industry and the way we send information out. Just the worldliness of Al Jazeera versus the kinds of things that get discussed on our news channels here in the U.S., is incredible, impeccable, and I think she just really sort of insinuated that there's some shame due, and that we need to catch up, and that this is a fight, this is a war, this is a media war, I think was somewhere in there, and we're losing, and you know, this has been something I've been quite aware of. As a media practitioner and a student of communications, I'm quite aware of consolidation and the way all of this stuff has gone, and I think a lot of people have that sentiment, whether it's community radio or things that people are doing with internet publications and web publishing these days, or small low power TV, or any other of a number of media sources. I think this is like incredible to hear mm-hmm. someone in her position saying And it's I could go on and on.
Well, that does make a difference when people actually stand up and say these things. And it's just, it's kind of curious. I'm not used to people agreeing with me in positions of power. But in this particular case, it was almost like she was listening to the things we've been saying here.
I know. I was wondering, did she listen to the show?
I don't know. Well, Hillary, if you do listen to the show, send us a letter, otw@2600.com. We'll be happy to read it, or parts of it anyway, because we only have an hour. Sometimes I guess people do agree on certain key things, like maybe
absolutely.
High-speed rail is a good thing. It's something that people seem to agree with, a lot of people. Not enough.
Maybe Hillary could bring high-speed rail into the discussion in her diplomatic travels. Maybe get some cooperation with other countries. Maybe get that new train in Japan out here or something.
Oh, did you see that? I don't know how this happens, but every other country in the world that has infrastructure, decent infrastructure, is able to keep introducing new technology. Japan just introduced a brand new high-speed rail train that just looks like it's from space.
It's and bright green.
They have economic issues, too. They're going through recessions as well. Yet somehow they're able to keep their eye on priorities and do this and make their lives better while we keep debating the same old thing and going backwards instead of forward. So, yeah, it sure would be nice if we actually did something positive. Thing is, I think too many of us feel like we don't have power. We're just being shouted out. We are being shouted over by lots of loudmouths out there. But, you know, I think there are more of us that use a measured tone.
Right.
And we might get the impression that there are more of them because they're louder, but that's not really the case. And I think if we just unite our perspectives, our opinions, and focus on what it is we really want to accomplish, we might be surprised by how much we can get done.
Right. Forge ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Into
and this tells me, first of all, high-speed rail is one thing. If we actually united on that and didn't bicker so much amongst ourselves. I mean, you know, we talk about this with people who supposedly agree that high-speed rail is a good thing, and yet we still can't get consensus on
right.
doing it because it's all the particulars. We get lost in the particulars, and the fact that we agree on the same thing, we don't move forward on it. Instead, we sort of get distracted by, well, should we put it here? Should we put it there? Meanwhile, the people who are opposed to it have an easy time because they're just opposed to it, period.
Right.
And while we're bickering, they're just rolling over us with steamrollers and building another interstate.
And we have power, I think, in moving, in forging ahead. And let's keep the critics' heads spinning. Let's have more revelations on mm-hmm. things that people agree on that actually is people in action and actually making changes and working and acting into the future that we want for ourselves and for our communities.
You know, I'd like to open up the phone lines. We only have a few minutes left, but
yes.
I'll go into delay if we see a couple of phone calls come in. 631-632-9872. 631-632-9872. So we see a couple of calls come in, then we'll shoot over into delay and take those phone calls. But speaking on the issue of empowerment, yeah, so you see Hillary Clinton say something like this. You realize, hey, there's other people out there that agree that news coverage in this country is shallow. We have many
yes.
channels, but they all do the same thing. They do the same thing at the same time. You know, they all have sports at the same time and weather at the same time. They have the same type of people doing the same kind of thing. You need diversity. You need to make your own choices and find different perspectives. And that's how you reach conclusions and learn things. Now, you can go to Al Jazeera's website. Go to English.aljazeera.net, and that's spelled A-L-J-A-Z-E-E-R-A .net, and you'll see on their front page, demand Al Jazeera. Yeah, I guess that might intimidate some people. Peter King might be shaking in his boots if he saw an organization called Al Jazeera saying to demand something, but all you have to do is click on that and enter your zip code. It'll tell you your various providers and who you can just send an immediate letter to. To respectfully request Al Jazeera to be covered in your area, and I think a lot of people are doing that. I think it's really moving up there. I think we have a phone call. We need another phone call. 631-632-9872, and we'd like to have a dialogue on the air, if only for a couple of minutes. I'm going to go into delay because I realize people are calling, and I want to be fair. So let's do that. We'll meet again on the other side.
This is Kevin Ayers, and you're listening to WSB Storybrooke. and I hope you have a lot of fun.
All right, we are here. The phone number again, 631-632-9872. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey there. Emmanuel, I wanted to find out what happened with the grand jury. Also, I have a book about grand juries that I can recommend to you.
Uh-huh.
Also, I would like the third thing to ask if you would ask the man from WikiLeaks to give all of the stuff, goods on the banks, to WUSB, Stony Brook.
I'll give Julian a call, and we'll sort that out.
Before they take them to Sweden and lock them up forever,
uh-huh.
Why can't we hear what was happening with this bank? I understand it was Bank of America, perhaps.
Okay, well, we'll try to get that out there as quickly as possible. I know he's a bit distracted right now with all kinds of other things like extradition hearings and stuff like that. Grand jury, you'll have to listen to the early part of the show where I talked about what I did and did not do. Was there anything else she asked about?
No, I think you answered what she was looking for.
We had a bunch of calls, so let's try to rifle through them quickly. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Oh, boy. What kind of phone are you calling from?
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say to you, the Dish Network does provide Al Jazeera, and it also provides another show called RTTV. It's called Russian TV.
Okay, now, the Al Jazeera that Dish Network provides, is that English or is that something on one of their ethnic packages?
It's English.
It is English. And has this been going on for long? I'm not aware of Dish Network having it.
It just came on about maybe 2.5 months ago.
Okay, I'm going to look into this. And if that is in fact true, I will start praising them.
Yeah, and also check out the one called RTTV. It's called Russian TV. They
Russia Today. Yes, Russia Today is carried on Time Warner Cable in New York City. Now, it's interesting. Have you seen Russia Today?
Oh, Russian TV Today?
The network Russia Today, yes.
Yeah, I've seen that. They also carry the Tom Hartman. Have you ever heard Tom Hartman?
I've heard that name.
Yeah, he's on Free Speech TV.
Okay.
He also has a show called The Big Picture. It's also on Russian TV, uh-huh. The RTTV.
Right.
And they have a newscast by... I don't know her name. I think her name is Aliana. She's also a newscaster that's on Russian TV, and she broadcasts about Washington, D.C.
Okay, well, that's another perspective and an interesting one at that. And, It's good to see. Obviously, a lot of these stations are biased. I think Russia Today and CCTV Channel 9 from Beijing are two English language channels, but they tend to be kind of filled with propaganda for their countries. Al Jazeera, I find to be a lot more impartial. And, you know, they had the son of Muammar Gaddafi on a couple of days ago. And boy, were they hammering him with tough questions about democracy and hypocrisy and things like that. You would never see that in this country with anybody, let alone someone controversial like that.
To be honest with you, if you notice, Michael Moore was at the in Wisconsin doing with the protesters in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
On all the other channels on CNN, HLN, CBS,
mm-hmm.
And they didn't even show it.
It's incredible. When something happens in this country, it's not a news story. And around the world, it is a news story. And those people in Wisconsin, yes, absolutely, that's something that should be front page news. But instead, it's fading from whatever headlines it made it into in the first place. I want to thank you for your call.
Oh,
keep listening.
Bye-bye.
And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Greetings from Shirley.
Shirley.
Yes, sir.
Shirley Ugess. Are you one of our really, not old as in you're old, but old callers in that you've called us for a long time?
Not that long. The uh-huh. past couple years, perhaps.
Okay, you sound familiar. You didn't call one of the earlier radio shows in the past?
I called... not that many times.
Okay.
Not that many times, sir.
Okay.
What's interesting, you brought up the high-speed rail system.
Yes.
I would love that. Could you imagine getting from out here, getting into Manhattan quickly?
You could do it in a half hour if there was really high-speed rail. You know, the other day, I was passing a Long Island Railroad train, and literally, you could walk faster than this train was going into Stony Brook Station. It was just going so incredibly slowly. I don't know how people manage to get hit by these things. They don't move fast. We consider trains around here to be somewhat fast. They're not. If you went to the other parts of the world, you would see how trains really work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whether it be Japan or Europe, the system here is just hideous. Absolutely hideous.
Absolutely.
Expensive.
Hey, listen, I want to make sure that you're in Shirley. You're going to look up at 23 minutes after 7 and see the space station?
Me and my son are going to take a look. He's 3 and a half and looking forward to it.
Okay, 23 minutes after 7, look up in the northwestern sky. It's going to move over into the southwestern sky. It's going to be pretty high up and pretty bright.
Very cool, very cool. We'll probably be able to see it pretty well from here. Not a lot of lights.
Just remember, 23 minutes, not later than that. It's very exact.
I'm pretty blind, so I might miss it.
Well, if you can see a star, you can see this.
Okay, I'll try. All right, have a good night, sir.
All right, take care.
His son will probably help him see it.
Yeah, a 3-year-old can point out.
They're pretty sharp.
Space station pretty,
that's
pretty
a,
quickly.
That's a good activity for kids and family, too.
All right, you know what? We are out of time, and that went fast, didn't it?
Yes, it did go quickly.
Well, it's... It's going to be fun to see the space station again. It's like seeing an old friend.
Yeah.
We're going to go out to the athletic field, stand the middle, point up, and jump up and down. And we'll talk about it next week, hopefully. Write to us, otw@2600.com. In the meantime, let us all dream about fast trains, and maybe someday they'll be coming through our area. And if not, we'll go to where they are and lounge about and have a great time. See you next week, Kyle.
Good night, E.
You've been on a fast train, and it's going off the rail, and you can't come back again. And you start breaking down in the pouring rain. Oh, you've been on a fast train, on a fast and make you feel sad, and you're going on a journey way into the land, and you start breaking down 'cause you're under strain, and you're jumping on, yes, you're jumping on a fast train, jumping on a fast train. Gotta go stuck in no man's land. Ain't nobody on your way back. Ain't nobody gonna lend you a helping hand. And you start breaking down, and you go to the sound, but you hear that fast train. Sound of the wheels. Oh, deep down in your heart, do you really know how you feel? Then you start breaking down, going to the pain. Keep on moving on a fast train, moving on a fast train. Well, we over the land. Next thing you're out of your mind. I can't understand. Going through this ways of land, I'm a crazy man. Lord, help me on the fast train. Fast, 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 fast train.
Keep on moving.
Fast, 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 fast train.
Keep on moving.
On a fast train. Going nowhere. Ooh.
Kids, it's after 7 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, and that, of course, means it's Finn's Revolution on WUSB Stony Brook till 9 p.m. tonight. The Loyal and Roller Rebels in the house helping to celebrate International Women's Day, and, of course, we're going to be doing some Mardi Gras stuff, too, so stay tuned, plus some ticks for the Roller Derby this weekend.
I wish I was special.
Never been this calm as I wander around. Never bring home to those